I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. The first time I saw William Mapother's work was in the excellent film In the Bedroom. I thought, wow, who is this guy? I wasn't the only one who thought that, because since then, he's been working nonstop ever since. He's currently starring in the film Another Earth as John Burroughs. He's a composer who suffered a tragic loss at the hands of Rhoda, played by Britt Marling. When Rhoda's released from prison, she finds a way into his life, and the two form an odd friendship. When she gets a chance to travel to Earth 2, the mysterious mirror planet that has appeared above the sky, she must make a decision to tell Burroughs the truth about her, or leave and start a new life. Mapother and Marling together on screen make the film. Their scenes together are touching and warm, and you're hoping that they have a chance to be happy together. Mapother grounds the story. His character, even in silence, lets you in on the rage and sadness he's feeling inside. It's a really fantastic performance. I talked to William about how he got involved in the film, how he prepares for a role, and what was his worst audition ever. I want to thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. Every little click does help. And now, here's William.
How did you get involved in the film? I mean, Mike was a first-time director. Britt hadn't had a lot of experience yet.
When I was in New York in summer of 2009 at the Shakespeare Lab at the Public Theater, which puts on Shakespeare in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
Every summer they bring in about 12 actors and put them together with some of the best classical acting teachers in the country and teach them how to play Shakespeare soup to nuts. And while I was there, I made a list of all the casting directors in New York whom I hadn't met over the years and sent that to my manager and asked him to set up a meeting with one of them. I went over to the meeting. It was in Chelsea. The elevator's out, fourth floor walk-up, noisy, dusty. There was construction going on, 20 minutes in and out, very inauspicious. 2 weeks later in L.A., a script arrived with an offer for a role. And they said, we have a first-time feature director, a new actress who's not in SAG, and it's about $100 a day. Are you interested? And I read the script, and I liked the script. I realized I'd never played a character like this. And then I looked at the footage that Mike and Britt had already shot, because they began shooting the movie before I came aboard. They couldn't find an actor for my role. They'd been looking for about 6 months, and they'd shot a bunch of Britt scenes by herself and with her family. And from the footage, I could tell that Mike knew how to shoot and Britt knew how to act. And then I met with him for lunch, and we got along really well, and I realized that they were committed to making the best possible movie without ego or status, and then it would be a lot of fun. And at that point, it was a no-brainer decision for me.
So from when you said yes to the time you started shooting, how long was that?
Well, one of the conditions to my coming aboard was that we workshop my scenes with Britt for about a week, week and a half at my house. So they came, Mike and Britt came over, and we rehearsed and workshopped and improvised and did a little bit of rewriting. And then we went back and shot a couple weeks after that. So I would say that from the time I said yes to the time we started shooting, it was probably a few weeks.
Yeah. I like how you said at my house. That's awesome.
Literally, they came over and we worked in my living room in my backyard.
Yeah, no, I mean, just like you didn't have to drive anywhere, you know, anything, you know. That's yeah.
Well, it's also a matter of our having very limited resources.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as I'm sure you've read, this movie was made on not just a shoestring, but the tip of a shoestring. So we had no budget to rent any sort of rehearsal space or anything else.
Wow.
So you know, in one way, yeah, I didn't have to drive. In another way, it also makes things a little bit tougher because for both them and me, we are surrounded with William's life. And sometimes, you know, those sort of circumstances make it sometimes easier to start with a clean canvas.
Throughout the film, you're like just living with this tremendous grief, you know? And are you someone who has to live with those emotions day in and day out when you're filming, or can you just kind of turn it off and on?
It's somewhere in between. It's not simply a matter of turning it on and off. It requires, you know, a little bit of ramping up at the beginning of the day, a little bit of ramping down at the end of the day. But I try not to take it home. couple of reasons. One, obviously, it can have a rather dramatic effect on the other parts of your life. And two, it diminishes the specialness of performance and the energy and concentration required for performance can sometimes be affected if it feels just like every other part of your day.
In the movie, I want to talk about that saw scene where you play the music on the saw. How long did that take you to learn how to do that?
Well, you know, my movements are accurate, but it's definitely not my music that you hear in the movie.
Okay.
Let's be very clear about that. Playing the saw is very difficult. I worked with a woman for about a day in L.A., but I by no means would claim that I can play the saw. It requires a very unusual combination of strength and sensitivity. Strength to not only bend the saw one way, but then to bend the tip back the opposite way, so it creates a bit of an S. And it's a full-on saw. Mm-hmm. It requires a good bit of effort, not only to bend it, but to hold it in that position. And then, simultaneously, the sensitivity to draw the bow. And simply drawing the bow hard or fast doesn't produce a note. It's very difficult to produce a note at all, much less one of quality. So it was quite a struggle to learn just how to play it and then to try to strike the exact notes and to strike them well. Forget it. We just didn't have time. So I was taught how to draw the bow in the proper way for the music that's being played, but no, I didn't play it. But it's a damn difficult instrument to play. I believe that Mike found Natalie, the woman who taught me, in the Times Square subway station.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
Have you ever had to learn any sort of things like that, odd things for any other kind of roles?
Yes and no. Never anything that outrageous. I did a Western a few years ago called The Burrowers, which required that I ride a horse, and I grew up in Kentucky, so being paid to ride a horse is a dream job for me. But the actors arrived a week early because we had to learn to ride as if it was as natural to us as driving a car. In other words, completely unconscious.
Yeah.
And there have been a couple things like that I've done for movies, but nothing. I've never had to learn anything as specific a skill as playing the song.
How do you decide what you're going to do? Like the offers you get, or the things you, the roles you pursue?
The answer is twofold. The first answer is that material which I'm drawn to. And sometimes I'm drawn to a very powerful story, and sometimes I'm drawn to a terrific character. The second part of the answer is I'm drawn to being hired. You know, I mean, it's a very competitive business, especially for actors. And in the last several years, it has become noticeably more competitive. You know, there are fewer films, big films being made. A number of television dollars have gone to the internet. The industry has lost a lot of eyeballs to video games and the internet. And it's gotten tougher to find work. So, you know, to a degree, I can exert some choices, and then to a degree, I have to work.
Yeah.
You know, it's always kind of amusing to actors when reviewers comment, oh, he only plays this sort of roles. And if you're saying that about an A-lister, that's one thing. But it's almost as if they are speaking of us as if we're walking down grocery store aisles, selecting types of laundry soap, as if we have that many alternatives available to us.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you just have to take the jobs you're given as long as you can find some way to connect to them.
Yeah. I was always been told if they typecast you, yeah, get typecast. You know, it's work. You know?
It is work. You know, there's a little bit of a downside to that because obviously within The Bedroom and Lost, I got a certain type of role which was offered to me again and again. And I've been able to play outside that role in some TV and in some small independent. But it can provide a steady stream of work, but the downside is once you get a steady stream, your ambitions rise. And that's when you begin to feel the constraint of that pattern.
I read that you were, prior to acting, you were a teacher for a couple of years?
Yeah, in East L.A. for 3 years for the LAUSD, I was a substitute teacher.
Wow. And which subjects? Anything that they called you in on?
That's exactly right.
Wow. So how did you go from that? Had you always wanted to be an actor growing up?
No, I always loved movies. And I thought that I was going to use summer sight and sound program right after I graduated from Notre Dame. And then I worked as a PA on three movies, and then I worked in script development, project development for a couple of years. And then I thought, I need a break. My friends rented a van to drive around the country after graduation. I never got mine. So my driving around the country in a van was teaching in East L.A. for 3 years. And I did that, and I thought, this isn't quite for me. So I came back into the film industry, and went to New York for 6 months, directed a play off-Broadway, and took an acting class and found it far more fun and far more challenging than I expected. I came back to L.A. I took some improv classes at the Groundlings, and that really was not for me. And then I was lucky enough to fall into a two-year Meisner school in Santa Monica, the Baron Brown Studio.
Oh.
And that's where I received the foundation for my acting. So, and the whole time I was writing, I still write, but for some reason my acting took off faster than my writing did.
So now when you get a part, how do you prepare? Does it change per role or per project? Like, what's the first couple things you do out of the box?
The first couple things I do was, I initially read the script with an eye to deciding whether or not I'm going to do it. And if I decide to do it, I reread the script with, how do I describe this? I read the script with what I hope is a blank canvas, emotionally and intellectually, so that I allow the script to affect me on its own terms. And that initial reaction forms the basis of how I'm probably going to approach the character. And then from there, the process varies from role to role. Usually it's from the inside out, and sometimes it's from the outside in. I've had a couple roles in which I've gone to wardrobe and put on a certain outfit, looked in the mirror, and thought, okay, I understand this guy.
Last night I was doing some headshots and resumes and stapling them up for my agent. I was just kind of curious. I guess at the level of you're at, when was the last time you had to sit in the middle of your living room and stapling headshots and resumes together?
Oh, it's been a while. It's been a while. And, you know, now they tend to send a lot of that electronically.
Yeah.
So I haven't even had to have headshots printed up. You know, I think even after I stopped stapling the resumes together, I still used to get headshots reprinted. You know, that was my responsibility and cost. But I haven't even had to do that in a while. They tend to email the headshot a lot.
What's the worst audition you've ever had? Like, where you just walk out and it's like, I suck.
Oh, my God. I feel that 90% of them are like that, man. I'm not kidding you. I've lost the ability to tell whether or not an audition has gone well.
Uh-huh.
Unlike every other actor I know, some of them I walk out and think, oh, my God, I just nailed that. They're going to be calling me within 2 minutes. I've got that damn job. Nothing. Zero. No response. And then other ones, I walk out and I say, well, I guess maybe I'm not too old to go to law school. And then I'll get a call through my agent. They loved you. They're just going to offer it to you. So, you know, most of them feel like they were subpar. You know, I always come out thinking about things I could have done differently or could have done better.
The auditions you get called in for, are any of them like where you get like just super excited, like, holy crap, I would love to have this part? You know, or is it just kind of like another job?
Yeah, there's both types. There's some that I think, boy, I'd like to be working.
Yeah.
And I'll take, you know, this damn job. And then, sure, there are other ones in which I'm either excited about the specific character or I'd love to be a part of the project. Maybe I love the director, or I love the time period, or the milieu. So it's really all over the map. There's not, my experience in that way is similar to a lot of actors I know. Some of whom work a lot, and some of whom don't work very much. You know, it's all over the map. It's very difficult to predict how any given audition is going to go, and it's very difficult to predict the nature of the next three jobs I'll be offered. You know, it's really moment to moment. The business has gotten to be very competitive. And, you know, sometimes I have to audition for things, and sometimes they offer them to me.
How do you see it changing in the next couple of years?
I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah.
I think we're all praying that the industry finds a revenue stream which will replace home video. Because if they don't, and home video revenues continue to fall, the business is going to become more and more difficult.
Yeah,
there's going to be less work and less money.
What is your advice to actors?
A number of young actors ask me for advice or to meet them for coffee, and they know me through family or friends or our schools. And I tend to steer away from offering inspirational talks. I figure they can get those from anyone.
Uh-huh.
My advice tends to be very full of practical tips on how to survive living as an actor, how to survive the business of acting. And I suppose most simply it can be summarized as remember that it's a marathon. In other words, live, spend, socialize with an eye toward the long term. You know, I've seen a lot of young actors who had to go home, move out of L.A. because they ran out of money.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's because they had a little bit of success and they spent the money assuming there was going to be more. And they didn't have enough to carry them through the lean years. Or they got in trouble with laziness, drinking, drugs, the wrong crowd, and their habits encourage them to grow lax about their craft. And it's just too damn competitive to do that. It requires a great deal of self-management, acting does. And most people don't appreciate that. You know, my job generally is not acting. My job is finding a job.
Whenever I'm on a set, it's like once I'm on a set, it's like then I worry about like, all right, how am I going to do this again? You know?
Yeah.
Of course, you're at a much higher level than I am, but yeah.
Well, you know what, Lance? That's the thing about this business that's both terrifying and exciting. next week I could be interviewing you.
I highly doubt that. But although that would be cool.
I mean, Lance, we made this movie, I'm not kidding, on not a shoestring, but a tip of a shoestring. Less than two years ago, Brent Marling had two unproduced screenplays and no SAG credits. She's now represented by CAA, just finished a movie with Richard Gere, and she is one of the hottest actresses in Hollywood right now. That's less than 2 years.
Yeah.
So the only other piece of advice I would offer, and I just remembered this, is you must be proactive. That's the big takeaway from the Brit Marling story. Yeah. She wasn't finding roles she liked, so she wrote them for herself. You must be proactive in setting up meetings, in establishing contact, in everything.
Yeah,
you must be proactive.
Thanks, William, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Thank you so much for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.